Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the pastor Timothy, the second chapter, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Back in the early 1980s, there was an infielder for the Minnesota Twins by the name of John Castino. He was very good as he entered the majors. He was just a few votes away, apparently, in his rookie year from being called the Major League Rookie of the Year. His career started to go a little bit south a few years after that due to some back problems, and he went into contract negotiations with the Twins owner, who at the time was known for being a very stingy man and very difficult to negotiate with. Apparently, when the meeting first started, Castino had decided not to get any representation, not to bring any agent along, but he himself was going to represent himself. And he was kind of a mild-mannered, quiet, humble guy and soft-hearted. And the owner knew this about him. And the owner, as the meeting started, had put together about a 15-minute video clip that they were going to watch first. And it was all of his errors and strikeouts from the past 2 years. When that got done, he put a contract in front of this ball player that was really pretty cheap, and he signed it without any hesitation. He came away with a pretty horrible arrangement for himself. Not too many years later, he got out of the major leagues. Points out to us the importance of having good representation, the importance of having a good agent who can work on your behalf. That's true in many places in life. As you go out and apply for jobs, maybe this summer, you're going to try to put good references down for you, people that can be your advocate, that can speak up for you and say, this person is worthy of your money to hire them, and so on. It's true in other places. It's certainly true in court, where people hire attorneys, lawyers, to go and try to put their case according to the law as best they can in front of people. It's true even in things like marriage counseling, where you want a mediator that can make sure to speak what is good and right between the two individuals hoping to resolve the problems, and so on. Good representation is essential in many places in life. And as true as that is about temporal, earthly things in this life, it is much more true in the arena of spiritual matters between us and God, in eternal matters that have to do with where you or I will spend eternity. When it comes to sin, if you're like me, we like to kind of hide in numbers. We like to kind of hide in the fact that whatever it is that we have fallen into or so on, that, well, there's just so many other people involved in this that somehow we kind of like to wrap ourselves in the anonymity as if God has to look at all of us in a huge photograph, everybody that is involved in this, and how could he possibly pick me out inside of all of that? Just think how many people there are that are involved in this. Just think how common this sin is that I maybe love and cherish. Certainly, that seems to minimize it in our hearts and minds. And we like to justify to ourselves that somehow our standing before God is okay, and it's not too bad because of the fact that whatever this is about us is just so common. It's as if we expect that God on Judgment Day is going to say to us, you know, now that I consider your condition and your situation, there were so many people doing this, I guess my expectations were a little too high. Maybe I was just over the top when it came to what I was demanding of you. But that's certainly not the image of God and his law that we get from the scriptures. You see, our time before the eternal judge that's coming up for every person is not a group corporate matter. It's a very individual, personal matter. It's a very point in time when it's just you and it's just God. The scripture gives us that very stark statement. It is appointed unto each man to die, and after that, the judgment. So, you think we need an agent? You think we need some type of mediator or representative working on our behalf? Do we need some type of buffer between us and this shining, holy, righteous God? The text before us sets in that mix just this one man, the God-man Jesus Christ, the perfect mediator. You know, some of the best agents they claim for baseball players are ex-baseball players who have gone on to get either law degrees or business degrees. And they say the reason that they do so well at it then is because they kind of know both worlds. They know what it's like to be the player, and they know also what it's like, what the owner is looking for. And they know also the legalese that has to take place in between. Listen to what St. Augustine says in this greatest arena between us and God. I just love this paragraph. It was necessary that as mediator between God and men, Christ have something similar to God and something similar to men. Otherwise, if he should be similar to men in every respect, he might have been too far removed from God. If he should be similar to God in every way, he would be too far removed from men. And so Christ is this perfect mediator. He knows the kingdom of heaven, and he knows how awful life in this world can be. He knows the holiness of God, and he knows every temptation you and I will ever face in our life. He knows how difficult those are. He knows what actual life really is, and he has also experienced the death that's waiting for all of us. He knows the mind and the heart of God, and as a human being, he knows how sinful human beings like us, even though he himself was not, but he certainly knows how we would tremble at fear of God. And so there really could be no other mediator. It couldn't be just a human being. It couldn't be an angel. It could not even be the Holy Spirit, God himself. It had to be one who was both God and man. In the catechism I used to teach from for confirmation, there were always these two questions that I told students I really wanted them to make sure to know. I'm just going to read the question for you and then the answer. Why was it necessary for our Savior to be true man? It was necessary for our Savior to be true man in order to fulfill the law for us and to suffer and die in our place. Why was it necessary then for our Savior to be true God? It was necessary for our Savior to be true God in order that his fulfilling the law for us and his suffering and dying in our place might be sufficient. If he wasn't God, it wouldn't have covered all of us, in other words. Let me kind of close with an illustration, something to help you picture what our text is saying in our mind. Imagine a man who is on death row, who's been condemned to die, and at the end of the week, he is looking forward to the day that he will be taken into that chamber and put to death. And he has been sending appeals back to the governor of the state, since the governor holds the right to commute his sentence and have him freed and released and so on. And suddenly he receives a letter from the state's attorney's office informing him that a brand new representative has been appointed to his case to be pled before the governor. A new hand-selected mediator has been set up for him. And he doesn't know who this individual is. And so he contacts the attorney's office, and he tries to investigate who is this. And he finds out that it's the very son of the governor, who has just graduated one of the best law schools in the land. And then he says, well, how in the world did I get him? And the attorney's office informs him, the governor himself appointed his son. He wanted him to take your case, and he's very confident that he will be able to have your case overturned. You see, God himself, the Father, that we're going to have to stand in front of, the very judge himself, he's the one that has appointed our mediator. We didn't come up with it. People didn't come up with this. It wasn't some vote. God himself, the judge himself, is the one who has appointed the mediator, our advocate, our agent, our representative, to stand before him and to plead our case. And he has been hand-selected to benefit us. In fact, he still bears on his hands and on his side the very scars that were caused by him having to go and be sacrificed for all of those things that make us so afraid of having to stand in front of God. Those scars were caused because of the life that was given to wipe all of that away. He is the great Emmanuel, God with us. So when you look forward to that great day of your personal time in front of God's throne on Judgment Day, why do we have any reason to be afraid? Amen. Please rise. Let us join our hearts in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.